Greetings, greetings, greetings. Welcome to the Spirit of Jambalaya Work Series. I am your host and call coordinator and course coordinator, Leah Lewis Henderson of Solutions to Grow, where we teach and help and support visionary leaders to flourish in their calling. We are so pleased, Yaya and I, that you have decided to invest in yourself, in your growth, and your development to be here for this outstanding learning experience, this 9-week online course, plus so many more adventures, so much more wonderful things that will be happening. These are a few things that we do want you to keep in mind so that you can have the most great and enriching experience possible. The first thing that you should know is that we have your email addresses. So at this point, you should have a welcome letter. And this welcome packet was sent to your email address. So make certain that you do check your email for the welcome packet. In the welcome packet are a few details that we want to bring to your attention. If at any point during your participation in the course, if you have questions, we want to make certain that you have a satisfactory, ideal, and beautiful experience. Therefore, you should please contact us at yayayluisatish@gmail.com. And again, that email address is in your welcome packet. The other thing that we want you to be sure of is in your welcome packet, all of the dates, all of the call access information is included there as well. In your welcome packet, one of the things that you need to remember is that you need to make certain that you have a copy of Yaya's book, Jambalaya, because you will be needing that throughout the course. And then there's an intake questionnaire, too. So be certain that you complete that intake questionnaire and return it to us before week two, because Yaya wants that information in order to be responsive to your needs. In addition to the welcome packet and customer care and in the intake questionnaire, we have been making sure that you get the most out of this experience. So therefore, there is a Facebook group that will be created. Around this midweek of this upcoming week, you will receive an invitation to your Facebook in order to join that Facebook group. So all you simply need to plan to do is accept the invitation, and you will be included there. This is an opportunity for you to network, connect, share your learning lessons with other members of the course because we are a learning community. Also, there will be a members area on Yaya's website. So as it concerns listening to recordings and downloading the classes, that members area on her website is forthcoming. But all of these updates will come in emails to you on next week. Now, moving right along, a few protocols that we are asking that you will please observe during the class session. One of the things is that we will be ringing a bell. You can hear it here. When we enter into Q&A mode, the bell will ring to commence Q&A, and we're asking because we do have a nice sizable group of you who are participating, and we thank you, that you manage your conversations and stay on topic with your calls. I will be moderating to make certain that we make efficient use of our time and that any questions that you ask them within 60 seconds, a minute time, so that there's plenty of time for Yaya to answer and others to ask their questions. Also, the ringing bell will signal if there's a time matter that we need to be concerned about. Also, this is sacred, beautiful space that we are co-creating in this course, which is way more than a course, in this learning experience, this journey, this sacred community that we're building. So it's important that we honor the privacy and that we make certain that what happens in the circle and what happens in the course stays in the course. So we are just going to have an honor policy of maintaining the privacy and the just being candid with and discreet regarding what is discussed here. You can look forward to future email updates from me. Again, I'm Leah Lewis Henderson. If you need to ask me anything, please just go ahead and send me an email, and I will be immediately responsive, usually within 24 to 48 hours. I also will be using that email address, yayayluisatish@gmail.com, for sending you homework out also. So with all of that said, welcome. So glad to have you here. And I'm going to open up the line and invite you all to say alafia to Yeye. Go ahead. Alafia.
Alafia ni to everybody. I am so pleased to be with you in this space doing this work at this time. I am sitting in my mother's house in Louisiana at the end of the kitchen table looking out the window at the sunshine and the greenery. And I think that it is very fitting because one of the things that has been said to me over the years about jambalaya is people have said to me, it always feels, when I'm reading it, it feels as if we are sitting across from each other at the kitchen table. And so I would very much like to recreate that feeling for our work. And one of the things that that is in the works is I am having one of my goddaughters, who is an amazing herbalist, to put together a jambalaya tea blend, okay? She's going to, I've given her some instructions. She is going to sit with the Orishas in meditation and arrive at a formula that will help us to relax and concentrate, to stimulate our spiritual facility. And as we progress through these 9 weeks, it is my hope that you will join me in a cup of jambalaya tea. I think it is so wonderful to be able to communicate with you in this way. So everybody take a deep breath, and I want you to relax in your seat. You may be sitting down, you may be laying down, you may be languishing at the end of the kitchen table. What is important here is that you breathe deeply. Take a deep breath and let it out slowly. What is important here is that you feel secure in your environment. What is important here is that you be comfortable. I'm asking you to feel your feet on the floor, your seat in the chair, or your back in the lounger that you are in. And pay homage to the magnificence that is your body. If anyone has given you any notion at any time that there is something wrong with your body, I'm asking you to release that right now. Just take a deep breath and let it out slowly. As you feel your feet and your seat, feel that slight tingling that is going on. This is what the people of Mali call the nomo, the invisible lines of energy that move from your body through your aura into the environment around you. The nomo is the power of the word, the way in which we can perceive the invisible through feeling. Feel the environment around you. feel the energy of the earth beneath you. Recognize that the lines of no more energy run down, 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 down into the earth, grounding you here, which is why your body does not float away. And feel that energy of the deep, solid earth. She who has been here since the beginning of time. Feel her energy connecting with your nomo lines and bring that energy up into your body so that it polishes your bones from toe to head. It soothes your nerves. It cleans your internal organs. It moves with the blood in your veins. It lengthens and strengthens your muscles and glistens on your skin. Feel the security of the earth beneath your feet and the way that that connects to your body. Take a deep breath and allow your awareness to feel the lines of no more reaching for the heavens above you. Go beyond the roof. Go out and touch the wind. Feel the breeze in the trees, the sun shining. Inhale the clouds and move through the blue of space. Go out there into the beautiful, soft, warm darkness of the cosmos where stars sparkle and planets spin. And feel the energy that is there as the lines moving through your aura from your body attach to, connect with, the power of the cosmos, and let that light energy, that stardust, sprinkle down upon you. See it moving through the deep blue of space beyond the planets and the stars. See it falling through the light blue sky and the white clouds. See it dusting the trees and falling on the roof of the building that you are in or the place where you sit. And let that liquid light penetrate your hair, roll down your scalp and over your face, feel it dripping off your nose, your eyelids and your ears. It rolls down your cheeks and off your chin. It saturates your throat and runs down your spine, across your arms, fills your back and your seat, and covers you in starlight from head to toe, polishing your nails and teeth, cleansing your hair, being soaked in by your skin, moving through the blood in your veins, strengthening your muscles, cleansing your organs, soothing your nerves, and polishing your bones. Take a deep breath. And know that beneath your feet, the earth beneath your feet, is composed of the millions of years of the ancestors' bodies returning to and becoming earth. Everywhere we walk, someone, some human, some animal, some plant laid down there and became earth. Something grew up there from the earth.
It is that which sustains you, the bodies of the ancient ones. And as you look up at the lights above you, know that the spirits of the ancestors twinkle like stars in the heavens, always informing and inspiring you. And as you feel the energy of the earth and that of the sky wrapping you, filling you, take a deep, deep breath and know that you are a child of the ancestors. You are a child of the earth. You are a child of the heavens. Know that you are a blessed being who is sustained and inspired by the body, the energy, and the spirit of the ancestors from the beginning of time. Take a deep breath and let it out slowly. Take another deep breath and let it out slowly. And on the third deep breath, gently open your eyes.
So we will always begin with a guided visualization and a cup of tea. And hopefully you have a copy or will have a copy of Jambalaya close at hand with a pen and paper. And eventually, as we progress, if you don't already have one, we will build an altar, a sacred chamber where you can do your work and accumulate the energy for your spiritual work. I want to say again how happy I am to be conducting this class. And you are a very, very important part of it, because over the past 30 years, you are the people who have asked me the questions that tell me what, that provide guidance for me for what should be in the 30th anniversary sequel to Jambalaya. This is an opportunity for us to share my growth and your growth, my wonderings and your wonderings. We will explore the mysteries together. And it is my intention to create the 30th anniversary sequel to Jambalaya, which will update everything that I've learned, as much as I can, of what I've learned over the past 30 years and what you all have taught me. Ideally, I'm looking at creating this book, a workbook, and eventually a CD with prayers, etc. on it. So throughout this class, I'm asking for your prayers, for my ability to concentrate, because, you know, I made 68 day before yesterday and discovered that I really better write things down, you know. If you have elders who are in their 60s and you're talking to them sometime and it seems like they really ain't there, I can help you with that. I can help you with that, you know, because it's something that happens over the years. We put so much information into our heads that it's like overloading the hard drive on a computer. The online forum, the places where you are talking to each other and where you are posting questions, will also be helpful to me in refining how I present what is planned to be presented here. We have people with different levels of information and skill, and so it will require that that I be able to know, are most of us beginners, intermediate, or very, very advanced. This is why it's really important that we address each subject, sticking to that subject, that the questions be succinct, make the questions as clear as possible so that I can answer as clearly as possible. With 35 years of Ocha, of being an Orisha priestess, and 8 years of study before that, I have found that if people new to the tradition don't ask me a question, I actually either forget what I knew or don't realize that it is relevant, okay? So this is a partnership that we are doing here. Everybody take a deep breath. You have received your questionnaire. This questionnaire will help me in shaping material to address your needs and desires. Most of the material that we'll cover will come from Jambalaya. Some of it may come from Carnival of the Spirit, and some of it will come from the material that I'm putting in the 30th anniversary sequel. But very, very importantly, this questionnaire lets me know what your needs and interests are so that I can make a long-range plan for your development. So, you know, fill those out and get them back to us before the next class so that think and plan ahead to look at summer, to look at next fall and next winter, because I want us to be clear that this is not just an information gathering thing. You know, we have we live in an age where people go online, they gather some information, they bookmark it or they copy it, they stick it over here, and it may or may not get integrated into your everyday life. I am interested to know that the material that's being presented is being understood, is being used, and is being inspiring. This is the difference between simply lecturing and teaching. This is meant to be a teaching. This is meant to be a safe place for transformation to occur. Okay? So everybody, as we progress, y'all have to know that you're going to receive some homework, okay? And you should think of the homework as your self-enrichment material. Some of it you'll be able to finish in one setting. Some of it you will work with all along the 9 weeks. And I want to say this very, very clearly right now. In doing this kind of work, it is very, very important that you be honest with yourself when you are answering these questions and making these spiritual self-assessments. You are at liberty to share with your classmates whatever you feel like sharing, okay? But on that forum, we must have confidentiality. We must have places where people can speak freely about what they feel without fear of judgment, or certainly no fear of attack. It is important that you not edit out what you say to yourself. You can edit out what you put on the forum or what you talk with other people about, but it's going to be important for you to be very, very, very honest with yourself, because unfortunately a lot of the quote-unquote new age teaching has been all about enlightenment to the detriment of not dealing with the shadow self, okay? And I can say very simply, what I mean by that is for every yes that you say, a no is implied for something else. Every attribute that you have has a flip side to it. It's a yin-yang, light and shadow sort of thing. And I'm not using shadow as negative. I'm using it as hidden or as pressed down. So, for example, I work to be courageous. To be honest, to be courageous, to stand up to oppression and a number of other virtues that I work toward, Iwapuele, which is considered virtuous character in Yoruba tradition. So those times when I am afraid, the temptation is to press that down and tell myself that I'm never afraid, which would be a lie. Okay, and if you lie to yourself and keep pressing those lies down, they take on density, they take on form, and they walk. Okay, so, you know, last night was the full moon in Scorpio, and the ritual that I perform on the full moon is that of writing down the negatives and burning them, so that I can release the burden, release the guilt, release the fear, release the regret, release those things that we ordinarily push down into the shadow in order to move along in society. So this has to be a place where you can throw light on the shadow. This has to be a place where you work on healing whatever has wounded you. This has to be a place where you feel safe in doing that. Okay, take another deep breath and know that this homework is very much about looking into your own consciousness, your own ori. There are no right or wrong answers to the questions that I put before you. There's only the answers that reveal themselves to you now. And as this work progresses, and you find yourself changing, your ideas change, your desires change, your dreams change, your surroundings change, your associates change, your action change. Some of you may change your career. Some of you may change your partnerships. Do not fear change. Do not fear change. Oya is present. The queen of the winds of change is at work, and there are no right or wrong answers to these questions. There are only the things that we want to explore so that we can know and honestly answer the question, who am I? Who am I becoming? How do I manifest the best of who and what I can be at this point in my development. Okay, I'm going to give you a minute to take a deep breath because I know that I've said a lot just now. But I want you to really understand a cup of tea, a comfortable place, your tools in front of you, in an atmosphere where you are supported by the earth and inspired by the sky with a recognition that all of your ancestors since the beginning of time, you have access to their intelligence, their energy, and their love. Okay. Today, and this will help with the homework that you're going to receive. Today, I want to begin with us taking a look at our spiritual identity. Identity is a very, very important thing. Identity informs the question, who am I? Most often, when somebody asks you, who do you think you are? They're saying it with an attitude. Well, who do you think you are? I am not posing that question that way. The inflection that I want you to hear is, who do you think you are? Not who the people at work say you are. Not, you know, who your parents or your partner has told you you have to be. And certainly not what the dominant culture tries to define you as. Okay, I am asking for an inner exploration that will reveal to you the essential energy of your spirit. Now, that has been impacted by external forces. And, you know, in African-based traditions, introductions and greetings are very, very important. Introductions and greetings identify the nature of spirit, how I perceive you, what spirit you are emanating. The introductions and greetings speak to your emotional state. You know, if I say to you, Alafia, you know, in that greeting, I am asking that you have good health and be at peace with your neighbor. You know, we are empowering each other's spirit with that. But if I opened with, oh, baby, how you doing? Then that would tell you from my tone and my choice of words that I perceive an emotional state of sadness or something, okay? And greetings and introductions often signify or speak to our social positions. So there are people to whom I say, good afternoon, sir. You know that that's much more formal. There isn't anything personal. I'm not even there. Probably I'm not reaching to know anything about that person's emotional state or their spirit. This is a transaction that will be over with. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody you wanted to have an emotional relationship with greeted you as if it was business? Or if someone greeted you in a way that told you they had no respect for your spirit? How we greet each other is very, very important. So right now, I want to work in the African way. And I want you, with your pen and your paper right now, we are going to consider names. Names are very, very important. They mark the identity given to us by our parents, by our peers, and by society. You know, think about your birth name. Who are you named after? You like the name you received? You know, the name Louisa Teach is a name that I received when I was studying Kemetic Egyptian spirituality. But when I was a child, sitting in my mother's house, remembering that when I was a child, my brother used to call me Elsie the Cow. I was named after my father's mother, who at first I perceived to be a mean old woman until I got to know her better. So being named after her was not comfortable for me as a young person, but then it got worse when my brother started calling me a cow. What's your name? What vibration does that name carry? What nicknames have you had? What pet names? Sweet, sweet pet names. What names have you been called that are insulting? What names indicate partnering, such as Mrs. So-and-so? What name indicates status, such as Dr. So-and-so, Sergeant So-and-so? Have you taken on sacred names? How did you arrive at those names, and how did you feel? And do you have a secret name, a name that you call yourself that maybe you never tell anybody else about, and you only refer to yourself by that name? As an exercise, I'm going to ask you right now, for just 3 minutes, I'm asking you to write down all the names and titles that you can remember. It doesn't matter if that's what's on your birth certificate or your driver's license. It doesn't matter if you're still married or, you know, you left the hospital and don't work there anymore. If you can remember it, it means it's impacting your identity. So I want to give you 3 minutes right now to just write down every name, every title, every name, every nickname, every pet name, every insult name, every sacred name, every secret name that you can remember. I want you to take 3 minutes, knowing that this is just a jump start, and that later on you'll be able to extend this list and think deeply about it. But right now, begin writing, and I will get back to you in 3 minutes. Oriade, you should mute your I think I hear your background.
Yay, yay.
Yeah, baby.
Okay, I'm checking. Mine is muted, so I'm going to double check here.
Yeah, somebody's is open, making a rattling sound.
Okay. Please press all everyone star 6 to mute your line.
Okay, people, that's 3 minutes. I know at first it may seem like a long time, but I just want to whet your appetite, and later on you can extend this. What I want you to do right now is look at the names and titles that you have written down there. And if you have good memories about the acquisition and the use of that name, I want you to put a check mark next to it. But if it is associated with pain or failure or something that hurts you, I want you to put an X next to it. It's going to be important for us to be able to tally and assess our checks and our X's. Okay. These are the things that shape spiritual identity. The next thing I want to do is expand out a little bit and talk about your biocultural ancestry. By this, I mean two things. Whose blood runs through your veins? What is your ancestry? Now, we are blessed now enough to know that we're all humans, and that the racial identities that we have been given are something that was invented in order to oppress some people and falsely elevate others. We all do identify, though, as some race or another. We all do identify as being members of a group. We all have some sort of family affiliation that helps to shape our identity. When we look at the blood and the characteristics that come with that blood, we often find denial and shame attached to it, you know. One of the easiest things in the world is to criticize what I look like, you know. I'm too dark, I'm too light, or I'm too tall, I'm too short, or I'm too fat, or I'm too skinny, my nose is too big, or it is too small, my hair's too kinky, or it's too straight, you know, people, you know. We really have to get over that. We really have to come to a place where when you look in the mirror, which is one of Oshun's favorite things, instead of seeing flaws, what you see is the gift that has come to you from millions of years of cellular contributions from ancestors. I think that when we learn to appreciate our own biology, our own physiology, the blood that runs through our veins, it will really put a dent in racism. It'll really put a dent in misogyny. It will really put a dent in this crazy body modification where people are bleaching their entire bodies or burning their skin, tanning until it peels off, or taking fat out of their butt and putting it in their lips, or, you know, having a self-image where you're emaciated but think you're as big as a house. Let's work on looking at ourselves in the mirror and seeing the amazing gift that you have been given. There's a point at which we are going to bless the blood that runs through our veins. We're going to bless our eyes, nose, mouth, skin, hips, feet, hair. We're going to bless them. We want to take a look at the talents and the predispositions that we have inherited. What makes up our sense of self, our sense of worth? I am an affiliate in a movement, Genius is Common. If you go to www.geniusiscommon.com/Louisa Teach, you will hear me talking about this particular thing. You need to know that every person living has their own particular genius. Everybody has a talent. Everybody has a predisposition for something wonderful. I say, whatever you do well, whatever you love doing and do well, feel inspired to do, feel like you're on automatic pilot when you're doing it, and there is a way that it can serve your community and serve humanity. Here is where your ashe is. Whether it's playing piano, planting a garden, making soap, talking to other people, doing hair, writing books, whatever that talent is, it is your ashe. It is given to you by the ancestors. It is what permeates your ori, your consciousness. It helps you to understand what you came here to do, who you are, and what you came here to do. Now, the problem we have in this culture is a devaluation of different people's ashe. We have a culture that says, you know, the football player is worth more than the elementary school teacher. That's a mess, okay? That is a mess, and it's a mess that sometimes negatively impacts us. Because the truth of the matter is that whatever you have a predisposition for is something that we brought with us from Eleorum, from the dimension above our heads, from the deep, deep blue. Take a look at whose values you've accepted. Take a look at how you judge your value. You know, people have a habit of saying, you know, if you're trying to figure out something out and they think it's simple, they'll say, well, it's not rocket science. And I say, how many rocket scientists do we need? Only a few. And in fact, I know four rocket scientists, and three of them enjoy talking to me. Sometimes they ask my opinion. And so when we can reduce this elitism and share in each other's intelligence, we will be greatly enriched. Now, as I talk about whose talents and values we have inherited from the ancestors, sometimes we run upon families where everybody's a musician. That's beautiful. Everybody, you know, there's a long line of healers. That's wonderful. Accept what you have inherited and also explore your own inner desires, because you could be adding something to the cultural gene pool. You could be adding something. Now, biocultural, we've talked about the blessings of the blood. And as we go along, I'm going to speak to some extent to the underblood, because we all grow up in a particular part of society with certain values and attitudes. And as we have started doing DNA research, we often find out that we are composed of people that we didn't know were in our bloodline. We find out that we have inherited certain traits that we didn't know was in our bloodline. And sometimes it explains leanings and predispositions that we didn't understand why we had it. This is what I call the influence of the underblood. When we get to the session on ancestor reverence, we will look at the influence of the blood and the underblood. We also want to take a look at the influence of affinity spirits, those who are not related to us by blood, but whose culture and knowledge we have an affinity for. This becomes very, very important for two reasons. Item number one, because we never, ever want to perpetrate disrespectful appropriation. At the same time, we want to acknowledge when our consciousness has been positively impacted by other cultures, people, and places, and to respectfully illuminate that. Now, you know, I've traveled around the world a couple of times, and I'm going to do it again before I leave the planet. Much to my surprise, I found myself to be very, very, very comfortable in Australasia, in New Zealand and Australia, in Southeast Asia, very, very comfortable. In New Zealand, I was walking around wondering, have I been here before? The first time I went, it felt so much like home. In Australia, I almost forgot that I lived in America, and I'm saying, how can this be? How can this be? Well, one of the things that happened is in wondering that, I had an astrocartography chart done, and those charts tell you where there's good energetic lines running for you. It turns out that I have some sort of Jupiter aspect with that part of the world, and whenever I go there, I experience a wonderful, wonderful sense of connection. So you may want to explore that. Why is it that you feel so comfortable among certain people and in certain places, and how do you embrace that respectfully while never denying your own blood? See, that's what's unhealthy when people pretend to be somebody that they're not or feel dejected by what they inherited. We are moving toward acknowledging our global and universal spirit, and so this work has to be done. Another way that we come into this, and it's very interesting to me, because sitting here in my mother's house, I am reminded of how her work as a domestic helped to shape my global consciousness. So she worked in the home of an Italian woman and of a Jewish woman. And she brought home some of their holiday traditions, you know. Black people and Italian people, and truthfully a whole lot of people on the holidays have a cook fest. But if you're from New Orleans, come on, you know. One of the things we do here really is eat. And we have an amazing varied cuisine. So, you know, my mother cooked all kinds of things and introduced me pretty much to Southern European cuisine as well as soul food. My mother worked for a Jewish woman, and it took a while for me to understand why the only time we had wine in our house was during the Christmas season, and the only wine we could have in the house was kosher. You know, so a Jewish tradition was brought to this little black girl, and what has come out of that is a global consciousness about food. What we do in early childhood tells us a lot about who our spirit is impelling us to become. I can remember when I was a child that there was an imaginary world.
It's 15 hours.
In the backyard on two sides of the house, okay? On one side of the house, I had a whole army of hungry soldiers, and I used to pull up the grass and cook it, and I made spaghetti for all of them, you know, and I fed them. I don't know how many there were, but I know there were more than a dozen of them, and they were on, like, the right side of the house when you're facing it. On the other side of the house, sitting by himself, and I'm talking, I'm like 5 or 6 years old here, there was this character that I called Captain Greedy Hog. And Captain Greedy Hog wanted to eat up all the food from everybody else. So I would go to the other side of the house
and I'd give Captain Greedy Hog a mud pie with rocks in it. And if he asked for a second helping, I'd tell him, no, there ain't no more mud in this yard. You can't have no more pies, right? And then I'd go to the other side of the house and feed all the soldiers over there and protect them from Captain Greedy Hog. That little girl has grown up to be somebody who addresses global food security, who encourages folks to have organic gardens, who lobbies for fresh food and water for everybody, who stands up against the corporate greed of outfits like Monsanto and Exxon. And here at 68, I can see how Spirit's message about my life assignment was being given to me at 6 years old. So people, pay attention to your children. Pay attention to what their spirits are trying to tell you. Nurture their inborn genius, their imagination. I am going to ask you, as part of your homework, I'm going to ask you to assess, and again, this is something that a process that you can start, but that will continue. I'm going to ask you to write down what your biocultural heritage is. Are you African and American? Are you European and South American? What are the bloodlines that run through your veins? And what connection do you see with them? What talents do you think you inherited from your family? And this is the smallest thing to the largest thing, not just that, you know, your father was a doctor, so you became a doctor, but, you know, I have a predisposition for this or that I learned from a particular relative or a particular friend. Whose values do you have? Do you have the same attitude as those in your family? Or did you have to break away from conservatism in order to become who you see yourself as now? What lands and cultures are you attracted to? What attracts you to them? How do you imagine yourself relating to them respectfully? How do you imagine yourself relating to them respectfully and incorporating them into your life? Very, very importantly, what's the gift that you have to give to others? You've got Ashe. There's something that you do well, that you love doing. What is that? How are you treating that? Make a commitment to deepen your relationship with that. Everybody take a deep breath. There are two more things I want you to consider here. In grounding your spiritual identity, I want you to survey what your spiritual path has been. The journey from where you began. What church did your mother raise you in, if any? If not a church, what were the guiding principles, morals, mores of your household? What were you told
about spirit? What did you believe? How has it affected your life? You know, in another class, there was a sister, when I asked this question, what came up for her was that she had come up under the burden of the notion of original sin, that it was drummed into her that the very fact that she had been born on earth meant that she was automatically cursed for being here. You know, we got to come up from under that. If you got any of that, we're going to have to raise up under that, because if you are told that that is the dominant sense of self that you are supposed to have, then all you can do is wiggle in place and try not to smell too bad until you die. That is not a life. That does not make room for the spirit that came here to be somebody, to do something, to have the resources and the respect to fulfill your spiritual assignment. So we have to explore this, you know. How have those notions affected your life, you know? Well, you told the story of Adam and Eve, where all evil on the earth is the fault of woman. Were you told that you are supposed to work like a slave because life is accursed? Were you told, for example, that any inspiration, any dream that you had was automatically the work of the devil? If you've been given any of that, it's got to go. It stands in the way of you getting in touch with your real spirit. If you went on a search looking for something different, if you walked away from that, what did you find? What have you incorporated? I am blessed. I'm so blessed on two levels. One was to have been in a school where I had a philosophy of world religions class with an amazing professor, Dr. Miles Shishido. I'll never forget him, because he made all of the various traditions of the world intelligible. I will never forget Sheikh Akhenaten of the Pahami Temple of Amun-Ra in St. Louis, who invited me to learn how ancient Egypt influenced all of the traditions of the Western world. I am so grateful for the fact that my life allowed me to take a look at a number of traditions and to incorporate into my practice those that truly, truly work for me. Here in the West, we've learned to take on concepts of yin and yang, of meditation, to do Tai Chi, to bring Eastern medicine in, and it's had very good positive impact on Western culture. I feel that the time has come when Native American and other indigenous peoples' earth reverence has to be part of our spiritual development, so that we can understand that by saving the planet, we actually save ourselves, and that picking up trash or recycling is a sacred act. It is time for us to look at the joyous celebration, the sense of extended family that is typical of African-based traditions, and incorporate that sense into our spirituality in order to overcome the alienation of an industrial technological society. So we want to take a look at
where we've been and what you brought. What's brought you to this place? Where am I? How do I feel? What did I walk away from? What brought me to this place? And this is something you'll be working on all along. Take a deep breath as I put forth the last item before we go into questions and answers. What are you seeking right now? Where are you on your journey? Where do you hope to go? What is it you want to learn to change? What do you hope to gain from being alive at this time? And very, very importantly, why did you choose the course that you are on? How did you get on the path? Where do you see this path going? And I always want you to know that the homework that I give you is also homework that I do for myself. 3 days ago, I had my 68th birthday. 2 months ago, I buried my 93-year-old mother, my mother who has had the greatest impact on my consciousness. And many, many things are showing me how I arrived at the place that I am. And on a daily, daily basis, some small thing happens that shows me, gives me snippets of where I'm going. So, for example, you know, sometimes we sit down and we rationally figure out that this is the next step that we should take. Other times you're not thinking about it rationally and there's a flash or a sensation or a feeling. Well, you know, a while back I had this flash. And in the flash I was in my kitchen in my new home and there were seven women, which is symbolic for sure. There were seven women in my kitchen, and we were cooking, and we were sharing recipes. We were from different cultures and different countries, and we were sharing recipes. And in this vision, we were tasting each other's food and talking about each other's culture. And one of the women said, "Let's do a cookbook." And so the cookbook came into being in this vision. And then when the cookbook came into being, we started traveling to promote the cookbook. And as we traveled, I saw in that vision us passing out seeds to different people in different places in the world. And I had to say, "Oh, right. Okay. This is the next step in manifesting your commitment to global food security." In the past, it's been to sign petitions. In the past, it's been to, you know, send food to food banks. A couple of times I've participated in seed savers exchanges and grown a garden myself. In less than 2 minutes, ta-da, I was given a vision of where my spirit wants to go next. This is what I'm seeking. A very simple thing. A very simple thing. To have some women fix lunch at my house and talk about it grows into impacting the food security of the world. You have that genius inside of you. It's sitting there, freeze-dried soul, waiting for you to throw water on it so that it can bubble up. These are the things that I want you to consider I'm going to send Oriade the form, another form, that will guide your homework. And you'll probably, don't try to do everything at one time. Take a good look at what I'm asking. Begin assessing yourself, okay? And know that you're going to work on this over time. Throughout the 9 weeks, you're going to work on this over time. Okay, I'm going to be quiet now, and we'll have 15 minutes of question and answer.
If you have a question, please press star 6. I will be moderating your calls. Go ahead and press star 6 now. And as I see you are ready to ask a question of Yeye, I will call you by your name and or the last 4 digits of your phone number so that you can ask your question. Again, thank you for being concise and asking your question within a minute's time. And again, the prompt is star 6 to unmute your line. Yeah, at this time, no one has unmuted.
Okay. So if there are no questions, at all, then that means that people are clear and we can go forward with the assignments. I would just want to restate again, please get a copy of Jambalaya. Please remember that there are no right or wrong answers. Please remember to be very, very honest with yourself and selective about what you share. Please be respectful of each other in the forum discussions and allow ourselves to have a sense of family in doing this work. Now, you know, for a class like this, we often need to keep a journal. And one of the funny things that I have noticed about myself, well, y'all know I have a book addiction anyway. You may have seen my Facebook posting where I told people, anybody who wants to buy me a birthday present can send me an Amazon gift card because I'm a book freak. And I'm one of those people who will buy fancy journals, you know, leather bound with amazing artwork on them, da 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 da. But the truth of the matter is, when I look at what I really end up doing, I get one of them spiral-bound, lined paper things with 5 pockets in it, and all kinds of thoughts and observations and aspirations and assignments go in them. Some people like a binder with 3 rings in it. Some people like an accordion folder or a manila folder. I don't care what form you use, you know. What I care about is you having a place to put all of this material. My one thing would be, as much as possible, do it longhand rather than on computer because of the head-to-hand coordination, and later we'll talk about the reticular activation system. But as much as possible, you want to do this work longhand.
one of my rules would be don't throw anything away. If you don't like what you wrote, have a section in the back of your folder or notebook where you stick that. And you can even label it rejected if you want to. But it is my experience that the material that I judge as rejected now becomes very, very relevant later on as the work progresses, you know. So know that you'll be doing this throughout. Know that everything that, every answer, every response that you give me is informing our direction. Know that I really want you to feel like you are sitting across from me in the kitchen at the table. Let us be that relaxed. Let us be that at home. Let us be able to ground and center, knowing that the ancestors are both beneath and below and above us, and in fact, all around us, all the time. My greatest aspiration is that you contact your common genius. Again, if you go to www.geniusiscommon.com, if you go to /LuisaTeach, you get a videotape of me. If you just go to www.geniusiscommon.com, you will see this is an international project to decolonize the word genius. As I said before, that word is now used for rocket scientists and a certain class of artists, etc. But every person is born with a certain amount of genius, and what you will see on that website is a number of people and a lot of children. You know, there's a little sister on there who sings, who is just off the hook, who are demonstrating their genius. In the future, I'm going to have Genius is Common buttons, coffee cups, T-shirts, mouse pads, all kinds of things, because I really want to promote this idea that everybody has genius. This assignment and future ones are designed to put you with your inheritance so that we can use it. Between now and the next class, I really want you to get your copy of Jambalaya. And it might help you to read my preface to that book. If you haven't read it in a long time, it might help you to read the preface to that book. And we'll talk about growing up tipsy, that chapter on my childhood.
Excuse me. Hello. Yes, there is a question, 2243.
Good.
Yeah, actually, I'm not sure if other people may have had a problem, but I couldn't unmute at first, so that may have been why, you know, there were no questions at first. But I actually don't have a question. I just have a comment. I do have your book, and I have begun reading the book, and I did the sound sleep ritual with turning my mattress over and putting powder on it and all of those things that you recommended to do.
Mm-hmm.
And since I have done that, matter of fact, on last evening, I had a dream that I was surrounded around priestess and that I was being initiated. So I just felt like that was just a confirmation of taking this course in that class. So really my comment is more for this confirmation. Yeah.
Oh, please write that dream down.
Okay.
Yes, and recall as much detail about it as you possibly can, because Spirit trying to tell you something, baby.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any others? Can you see?
There isn't anyone else at this time, but we do have time. So please, and I would even encourage you, if there is maybe a takeaway that you'd like to share, a brief takeaway on what today's class has meant to you, we do have time and we'd love to hear you. When you do speak, please introduce yourself. Share your name. Star 6.
Well, that's good, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That means everybody's understanding what's happening.
Okay.
All right, then.
Yeah. Is there any additional teaching that you have for us today?
Well, you know, I think that, I think that maybe, maybe I'll sing a little song. I don't know. I think that in the few minutes that we have left, I just want people to know that we're going to be very, very comfortable. Sometimes I may break out in a chant or a song, and we'll have a good time. We will have a good time, and I want to affirm the power of your consciousness. I want to say that your Ori, your consciousness, is perfect abundance and fulfillment. That in taking this class, you are manifesting the abundance and fulfillment that is rightfully yours. I want you to accept and to say to your own consciousness that you accept all that you need in the world for a fortunate existence. And especially under the light of this full moon, I want you to release anything within you or without you that does not serve you. Tonight and the next two nights is a good time to write down your burdens, your regrets, your fears, etc. Go out under the moon. Burn those concerns. Make a smoke offering to the ones who hold the lights in the heavens. Release that and look at the moon. Look at the moon. And ask the moon to take the sadness out of your face and to give you the light that is in her face. And name each thing that you are releasing, and each time ask for the light. So after you burn what's written on the paper, it kind of sounds like, moon, give me your face. Take my face and give me yours. Take my face, my unhappy face, my lonely face, my impoverished face, my fearful face. Take my face and give me yours. Moon, give me your face. Take my face and give me yours. Take my face, my lonely face, and give me your bright face. And keep talking to her like that until you can feel the light of the moon lighting up your face. I did this last night. I will do it again tonight and again tomorrow night. So as we progress, we will incorporate releasing on the full moon and invoking for good on the new moon. I want to thank everybody for being with us. If you know other people who really should be in this class, I want you to encourage them. Encourage them so that we can create a community of informed, empowered people. Until next week, thank you for being with me. Good night.